Well, some really interesting sports news unfolding, especially if you're partial to cycling. Women will be able to race the Tour de France for the first time in more than 30 years when they push off from the Champs-Élysées in Paris next year. Overnight, race organisers confirmed the women's tournament will begin in July and take place across 8 stages. The winner, well, they'll get a cheque for €50,000. It's a fraction of the €500,000 for the men's winner. To discuss the developments, I'm joined by Dr. Bridie O'Donnell, world record-breaking cyclist and SBS commentator, and the voice of cycling, Phil Liggett. Welcome to both of you. Bridie, can I begin with you? We've had some announcements on the women's tour earlier in the year, but what did we learn overnight?
Well, the tour itself was announced, which means they unveil the stages. And it's a very dramatic and European way of doing it. They bring all the riders together in this beautiful auditorium and unveil the route. And everyone says, oh, ah, we've got the Planche de Belfie. So they sort of tell you where the race and the course will go. And we learned that the women's stages, there's 8 stages. They start on the 24th, which will be the last day of the men's race in the Champs-Élysées. So it'll be very spectacular with an enormous crowd. And overall, they have 8 stages, 2 mountaintop finishes, 2 punchy sort of up and down stages, and 4 flat stages. So it's actually a really fantastic route to have over those 8 days.
And Phil Liggett, you covered the women's tour in France, Tour de France, back in the 80s. Why didn't it continue?
Simply because it was logistically too impossible. The race started over the last 75, 80 kilometres of the men's race route, and finished approximately 2 to 2.5 hours ahead of the men. But all the travelling journalists had to get past the women to get to the finish to do the commentary on the event, and they couldn't get by the women. And that was partially the problem. What it did do, though, was win over the hearts of the French, because the French are a chauvinistic lot in those days, and they didn't think the women could possibly ride the Tour de France, because the women had to climb the same mountains as the men over the last 2 hours of racing. And in those days, the longest stage they rode was just on 3 hours long. The result was that they suddenly fell in love with women's racing. It took a while to get it back on the road. It did die a death after 6 events. There's been various forms of the Tour Féminin and the European Tour de France, but now it's come back in the proper and correct manner. But it's come back at a time when the women are racing is now extremely popular, extremely entertaining, and the time is right. And the organisers of the Tour de France have always timed their events very correctly. So I welcome it, and I think the world does.
Bridie, do you think it's about time?
I think it's about a decade overdue, that's for sure. I mean, the London Olympics for me was the women's professional road race that actually propelled the performances of the women that we have in the peloton into the consciousness. Suddenly, it was the most extraordinary weather. The race was aggressive, and Vos took her first gold medal, and she's arguably the greatest cyclist of all time. So there were men and women across the world watching in pubs and taverns. I was in the Netherlands at the time. And so, you know, that was 9 years ago. So we've seen that caliber of racing, that attacking style, that extraordinary teamwork in professional women's cycling now for a decade. So Phil's right. This is an amazing time for it to start. But what the Tour de France, not just about the stage numbers or the prize money, it's absolutely about the broadcast. There will be millions and millions of people watching. And for the Giro d'Italia, which is existing at the moment as the only women's tour of stage race, it's not broadcast live. We get tiny little snippets of highlights footage. You can't find it. The money, there's no money at all. The stages are brutal and 180 kilometres. So it's kind of, if you like, it's like they just drew some very long stages on a map in Italy. But this is totally different. There will be people all over the world who know the Tour de France. They'll watch the 21 stages of the men, and then they'll watch another 8 stages of the women. And it will propel not just the riders, but then the sponsors. So they're getting a return on investment. And that's what professional sport feeds the respect for the athletes, is actually being able to pay them the same, being able to support them the same, and the world being able to view them the same. So I'm just absolutely thrilled and counting the 281 sleeps till we get there.
Phil, what do we know about the depth of riders who are in the pipeline in this field? The women's road race at the Tokyo Olympics as well was extraordinary. It was an Austrian rider, I think, who was way out in front, and everyone had missed the fact that she'd charged ahead. What's the quality of the riders like?
Well, the quality is actually extremely good. And as I say, over the last 5 or 6 years, women's race has become a real entertainment. They've got their fair share of television. They're not riding the same distance as the men, but quite frankly, I don't think they should. But in all honesty, what happened in the Olympic Games was a breakaway by an Austrian rider, who, by the way, is a mathematician. So she obviously worked the odds out. She broke away at the beginning. They didn't really know her. And they, the Dutch particularly, thought they were just too good to be beaten, totally misjudged the situation. You'll read stories about the fact they didn't know she was still in the lead, but frankly, that's a load of rubbish. They couldn't catch her, and she never slowed down, and she's a great Olympic champion. No, I think the standard is extremely high, and it won't fail to entertain. Now what they have to do is to get the women's race on a parity with prize money, on a parity with the men. Bearing in mind that the women's race is only one third of the men's Tour de France. And so I guess one would say that the prize money would be one third of the men's prize money. But other than that, I think we're in for a very entertaining month next year.
Bridie, I wanted to ask you about this issue of prize money. What do you think?
I think you pay people the same for equal work, and that's not been happening in cycling for around 120 years. We saw the prize money differential for Paris-Roubaix just 2 weeks ago, and the women were getting paid about 1/11th that the men were getting. But just going back to the quality of the riders, and this is why we do need to pay them the same, what we saw in the performances at the World Championships in Flanders and then 1 week later at the women's first ever Paris-Roubaix, again after 125 years, was that the riders make the race. They will attack it. They will utilise the terrain and the weather to make a race interesting. And the course in Flanders for women and men in the World Championships was the most fascinating I've ever seen. So you give athletes, I mean, athletes are essentially, as Phil has said, they're entertainers. They're in it to win, but they want to put on a show for their country or for their professional team. And those riders should be paid the same, but also the team and the environment in which they work, the equipment that they get, that's where, and when I was racing as a professional cyclist, that's where it was most embarrassing, that you didn't have a spare bike, you didn't have soigneurs at different points on the road to give you water bottles and food, or you didn't have a spare car to pick you up if you were crashed. So your whole experience as a professional woman was so different from the men. And when we've seen men move into becoming director sportifs, Rory Sutherland now is a former pro cyclist. He works with the Australian women's team. He said this year he couldn't quite believe just the difference in standard of support that's provided to women. So it's salary is important, but the entire structure behind it and the way that those sponsors support them is so important for these riders to really pave a way so that Australia can be at the top of the medal tally in these important races.
Well, yeah, Bridie, what's the situation here in Australia? It's a very grueling sport, and the amount of training and the gear as well, it's very high to be able to get up to this level. What's it look like in Australia in the ranks of women who might be in the running for this kind of race?
We've always had really great standard of cyclists, both in Australia and I'll speak for New Zealand as well, but you're right, it's often those who are hardiest. You know, it is a hard sport. You have to train a lot of hours. It's not just the equipment that it's expensive. There's the risk, of course. There's danger involved. But I think what's hardest, if I can also present the view of parents. Parents of young cyclists are pretty anxious about the idea about their daughter or son going and moving from Australia or New Zealand over to Belgium or the Netherlands or Italy and to live in a team house in a bunk bed and not get paid. And there's not that visibility that they have the way you would going and watching your kid play footy or netball or cricket every weekend. So it's a huge step to go be thrust into the professional peloton overseas, and often only the best survive. And we've seen some amazing riders like Amanda Spratt, who's been second and third at World Championships. She's performed extraordinarily well in the women's Giro. She had a challenging year and has just admitted she's had some challenges with an injury around iliac artery fibrosis. So she's going to have an operation and aim to come back stronger than ever. But we've got great riders, but there's no doubt the geographical challenge and the living away from home in a foreign land really does make it a whole lot harder than being a footy or a cricket player.
Phil, in the sport of cycling, do you think that having this women's race for the Tour de France, will there be a knock-on? Will it encourage other events to also make sure that they have a women's event?
Well, no, this is the icing on the cake as far as the women are concerned, because the other events already have carbon copy events. But the Tour de France have been reticent to come in, A, because of the cost, to put on a second event and close down a week of French roads for the women. and the cost of the police and running the events and getting sponsorship. They've now attained all of this, and the women's race starts the same day as the Tour de France for men finish. So it's a double dose of great bike racing on the Champs-Élysées on the last day of the Tour de France for men, because we wave off the women, who then race for a week across France. They'll finish their race in the area of the Vosges Mountains with two very difficult days. So this is really, as far as I see it, as far as getting women into the limelight, is the pinnacle of the whole time. A lot of people have worked hard to get women at the same level as men. Because, as I said, we've just seen the French edition of Paris-Roubaix, this famous one-day race. And for the first time, the women had their first Paris-Roubaix. And it was a very, very exciting race in terrible conditions. And the women made a lot of friends in the world sport of cycling. And that, but the prize list was atrocious. Now it's all, I think it's going to level out, and we're going to see a very, very different scene. This is a huge step forward as far as women's cycling is concerned.
Phil Liggett, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Phil Liggett. And Bridie O'Donnell, this will be one extra week of Australian cycling fans being sleepless watching this race unfold.
We do it with honour in our hearts, and we all overeat between the hours of midnight and 2 a.m, but it's the best job in the world to be able to commentate the Tour de France.
That sounds fantastic. Well, that were our guests there, the cycling commentator Phil Liggett and Dr. Bridie O'Donnell, world record-breaking cyclist and SBS commentator, talking about the plans unveiled for the women's tour next year in the Tour de France.